Thank you, Edie. Monday night, check that out. Two other quick announcements. First, women's Bible studies. Last day to sign up today. Women's Bible studies. Sign up online, grow.hope.edu. Second announcement, Trig Johnson's going to start something brand new just for freshmen. Sorry, you upperclassmen, just for freshmen. For freshmen who want to know how to grow in your faith this coming year, Trig's going to do a three-week series on Saturday morning, 9 to 10 at the Keppel House. Any freshmen are invited, come. There'll be good coffee and bagels. So starts tomorrow, first session tomorrow, 9 o'clock. I'm done with announcements. All right, here we go. I want us to open up our Bibles, smartphones. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30, as we continue to listen to the voice of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. If you're taking one of the pew Bibles in front of you, the text can be found on page 786. Matthew 5, verses 27 through 30. Here we go. I love that Jesus does not shy away from addressing relevant and tough issues. Let me tell you what I mean. Listen to the Word of God. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at another person with lust has already committed adultery with them in their heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That was my left hand. Cut it off, throw it away. It is better to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. This is the word of the Lord. Keep your Bibles open. Thanks be to God. So who is the everyone that Jesus is referring to in the text? You want to know? The everyone that Jesus is referring to is everyone. Men, women, single folks, married folks, young, old. And this is significant because sometimes the issue of lust gets reduced only to men, right? Lust is a guy thing. And this, of course, is not true. As God created sexual beings, women deal with the issue of lust as well. However, because of the cultural stigma with women and lust, not many women really are open to talk about this subject. As one female student talked to me recently, she said, "Paul, lust seems like a taboo subject among my girlfriends." And in addition, lustful thoughts and actions are not just reserved for single people. The myth that the problem of lust goes away when you get married is just that. It's a myth. It doesn't go away. It follows you when you get married if you let it. So, now that we know who the everyone is that Jesus is referring to, it's everyone, all of us sitting here in Dimnit Chapel today, Jesus then moves on to making a clear distinction between looking at another person and looking with lust at another person. To look at another person in connection with our natural God-given sex drive is very different than looking at a person with lust. Author Josh Harris, in his book, Not Even a Hint, states that it is critical to understand that our sexual drive isn't the same as lust. He goes on to give these examples. It is not lust to be attracted to someone or notice that he or she is good looking. It is not lust to have a strong desire to have sex. I love how we're talking about this in chapel. It is not lust to anticipate or to be excited about having sex within marriage. I can testify to that. It is not lust when a man, and I'm just being honest, man or woman, becomes turned on without any conscious decision to do so. It is not lust to experience sexual temptation. So what does it mean to look at another person with lust? The word Jesus uses in our text for look means to sustain a sustainful, willingful looking, what we would call an intense staring, to be fixated on another person. And the Greek word in this text for lust is epithemos. Epithemos. I just said it wrong. Epithemos, which comes from two smaller Greek words, epi, meaning in, and thumos, in the mind, which means to look at another person lustfully is to, in your mind, fantasize touching or caressing or entering into the body of another person for the purpose of your own sexual pleasure. That is the kind of looking that Jesus is condemning. This kind of looking badly devalues the worth of another human being, reducing the other just to a set of body parts. It's the kind of looking that is void of any intimacy or relationships. It's the kind of looking that is all about your own self. It's the kind of looking that author Lauren Winters in her book Real Sex says is almost always coupled with masturbation. So what does Jesus tell us in regards of how we're to deal with these lustful looking and lustful actions? You want to know? I know you do. Here's what he says. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. Pretty intense, isn't it? In short, Jesus is saying we need to take drastic and decisive action against the lustful patterns, lustful habits, and the lustful places in our lives. We cannot mess around with lust. You can't tinker around with lust, because lust's purpose is ultimately to master you, enslave you, and ultimately destroy you. And that's why Jesus says to deal with it, amputation is the only way to do. One of the primary instruments that nurtures lust in our culture today is pornography. Our culture more and more is promoting and advocating that pornography is natural and normative. Recently, I had a conversation with one of you, a female student here at Hope, and she met with me to ask me if viewing pornography was a natural and okay thing for males to do. She was asking me this question because her boyfriend had told her that all guys view pornography. I wish I could use a stronger word, but that is bullcrap. That is not true. All guys do not view pornography. Pornography is not normative for men. Pornography is not normative for women. There is nothing normative, nothing healthy, nothing good about pornography. It is a sin. It is a form of idolatry. It is a perversion. It is a distortion of God's good and beautiful gift of sexuality. Do I get an amen on that one? And on top of that, don't think pornography only affects the individual. It affects relationships and communities. And let me list three ways in which it does. Pornography puts unrealistic expectations of what a partner should look like and how they should perform. Two, pornography makes men far less committed to lasting relationships and ultimately to marriage. Third, pornography makes women feel that they have to accommodate the sexual behavior and appearance associated with pornography. And that's why Jesus is so clear to take drastic measures in dealing with it. And there are some students on our campus who are doing just that. They have formed two student-led groups that deal directly with the issues of lust, pornography, and unhealthy sexual addictions from a Christian lens. The group for the men is called Uprooted, and the group for the women is called Renewed. Listen to the mission statements of each of these groups. For the women, Renewed. Renewed aims to create a Christ-centered community in a safe and supportive space which empowers women struggling with sexual addictions to personally engage in a trajectory of healing. and to contribute to a shared conversation that strives to break the bonds of shame and sin in their lives. And then the mission statement for Uprooted for Men. I love it, short and sweet. Uprooting the kingdom of lust and planting the seeds of hope. So last year, members of these two groups came to Campus Ministries with the hope of making these groups more known to the greater campus community. And with this in mind, we produced this video. Did you hear the lies of the culture and the evil one in this video? You're alone. You're the only person who deals with this. Don't tell anybody else about this. Real Christians don't struggle with this issue. But hopefully you heard the truth. You're not alone. It is a struggle for both men and women, and we have to deal with the sin of lust and pornography in community, and that's what Uprooted and Renewed try to do. Their emails were up on the screen. Regardless of your past and present engagement with lust or pornography or other sexual addictions, God can and will enable us to deal with them if we surrender them to Him. I was intentional in using that word surrender because lust and pornography can perversely become a shadowy companion to us who promises to make us feel better, but ultimately is out to destroy us. Lust and pornography and other sexual addictions are big in our culture today, and they're big on this campus at Hope College today. And that's why Jesus was so strong, so clear in telling us what to do with them. Tear them out, cut them off, and throw them back into hell where they belong. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go in peace.